Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church from wherever you are joining us at today. First announcement, we hope to be back in the building next Sunday for live worship and live streamed worship. However, we are keeping an eye on COVID case data within all of our counties that are affected and other factors within our capabilities to stream, and also just how things are going generally with COVID in the state and case numbers and things of that nature. So please keep your eyes open for updates about that, but please note as well that if you do want to be with us on Sunday, you will need to RSVP either by calling the office or filling out the survey that will come out on Tuesday as part of our weekly news blast. So please keep that in mind, that we hope to be back in the building on Sunday. We'll keep you abreast of how that is going, but you will need to RSVP. Also, our weekly Bible study continues on Tuesdays. We keep feeding people on Wednesdays. And other than that, we're just trying to make sure that we keep doing the best that we can do to be disciples during these times. And so we thank you for all that you do that helps us to do that. Now, let us take a breath. Whew. Shake it off. And prepare yourselves for worship as we listen to our prelude. Thank you.
The earth has its kings, but God is ruler of all. Praise God above all, the giver of life. The mountains may tremble, the oceans may roar, but God's presence is more powerful than the earth itself. Come into God's presence, for God is among us now. O God, show us your glory. We seek your ways. Come to the rock, the God of life, for God is present now.
Continue with our time of prayer, please, or begin our time of prayer. Please join me in our unison prayer. Let us pray that the Lord may guide our world. Lord, mighty God, you lead the world and all humanity to their destiny in you. Give to the leaders of the world and of our country a vision of the future that is both imaginative and realistic, and respectful of human rights and dignity. Help us to bear witness in everyday life to the values of the gospel, and to be involved in the work of freedom, integrity, and justice. May we thus build up a community that foreshadows our heavenly homeland. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now let us continue our attitude of prayer with a time of silence and musical reflection. Lord, as we gather this morning, we lift much up to you. We lift up our country torn with strife and division, much of it of our own making. Lord, as the presidential election looms, we feel less connected to each other than ever before, less neighborly than ever before. It seems as though partisanship has replaced neighbor. Help us to identify with you and not with earthly leaders, Lord. Lord, we pray for all those who are struggling and suffering with sickness and illness, both short and long term. For we know that in the shuffle that is life, that often gets lost. Be with them and all who care for them. Be with those who are at the end of their days and with those who are at the beginning of their days. And be with us as we face each new day, that we would be more wholly committed each and every day to you and not to ourselves. Help us, O Lord, to be disciples and not just dust in the wind. Help us each and every day to tap into the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit that you send among us and that empowers and challenges us to do and be more, that we would truly live for you as you live for us. And we remember a time when you walked among us and talked among us and taught us about heaven and earth and all in between and about where priorities should truly lie. And then we remember that you gave us a prayer that is simplistic and radical, deep and nurturing, and that in times such as the ones in which we find ourselves can hold us steady and remind us that it is not our kingdom we seek to be a part of or seek to build, but that it is in fact your kingdom. And to this, Lord, we say thank you, and also we say help us to believe and to pray even when we doubt and waver in our faith. And so no matter where we are on our faith journey, just starting out, far down the path, or lost in the weeds somewhere along the middle, we know that we can join in this prayer that we were taught, and I invite you to join with me as we say it now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And good morning. Welcome to our children's moment. Now, today, our scripture that we're going to, our main scripture from Matthew, is going to talk about a tricky question that Jesus was asked about his taxes. Now, I know, something all of us want to think about, especially when we're little kids, taxes. Now, you may only be familiar with it from your parents complaining about it, or you may have heard of taxes before. It's often talked about on TV for some reason. But in this gospel text, they're trying to use this as a way to trick Jesus into sort of showing his allegiance to Caesar, and how they want him to show that he's got allegiance to Caesar, which is like kind of against his whole thing. And he finds a creative way to answer. But it's tough because he says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And you may be thinking, how does that even work? Like, what does that even look like? Well, you know, we have examples of this. So I'm a pastor, right? So you may think, well, the pastor probably follows God pretty closely. That's kind of part of who he would be, I would assume. But does the pastor also give anything to Caesar? Well, I'm not Italian, and we don't have a Caesar anymore. But we do have a government, and I have to give some things to the government. For example, this is my wallet. Aha! Now, there's no money in here, just some cards. No taxes in my wallet, I'm afraid, fortunately. Sorry, federal government. But I do in my wallet have this thing. Hold on, I gotta make sure I cover up my numbers so that if you zoom in, you won't snipe my identity. Is that how that works? Where's my birthday? Yeah. This is my driver's license. Don't zoom in too far, Gus. And so my driver's license is what I need to drive a car, right? So if you drive a car without a license, it's kind of against the law. But I often need a car to do some of what I do as a pastor. I need a car to go to visitations. I need a car to go do some funerals. I need a car to go do some weddings, to go to the hospital, to go do a baptism sometimes. Sometimes I'm running late to church and I need a car to get from my house to church, even though I don't live terribly far away. But I couldn't do that if I didn't pay the BMV, whatever it is you're supposed to pay the BMV. It's like 35 bucks. I don't know. A lot. And so I have to pay the BMV, which is part of the government, for my driver's license. But then to drive my car, I have to have license plates on my car, because if I drive my car, even though I have a license, if I don't have a license for my car, then I can't drive it because I could get a ticket. And so, you know, Jesus kind of basically says, if it's got Caesar's face on the coin, give it to Caesar, it's his. But give to God what is God's. And so there are some times when there's things that we have to do. We got to pay some taxes because they help out people in our society. They help us build roads and maintain those roads, and they can help pay for, you know, some services people may need. But they also help make sure that we're safe. You know, that's why we have driver's licenses. Make sure that everybody took the test and knows how to drive a car safely. But in all that I do, the thing that holds everything up is reminding of who I serve and who I belong to, which is God. And that is really what it's all about. And so there are some superficial things of the world, like money, that don't really matter when it comes to God. And so I use those to do things for my job, and I use those to do things for my calling. But ultimately, I put God first in my life. And so that's kind of how we're supposed to be. So may you remember that God should be first and foremost in your life, and don't get so caught up on all the other details about everything around that, as long as you remember to do what we're supposed to do and to be good neighbors. Why don't we have a prayer? God, thank you for good neighbors and for an opportunity to be one, to follow the rules and to be better for each other, that we could be good to one another and therefore have others be good to us. Amen. Have a great week.
The first lesson is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. From Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. To the Thessalonians church that is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to all of you. We always thank God for all of you when we mention you constantly in our prayers. This is because we remember your work that comes from faith, your effort that comes from love, and your perseverance that comes from hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Brothers and sisters, you are loved by God, and we know that he has chosen you. We know this because our good news didn't come to you just in speech, but also with power and with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. You know as well as we do what kind of people we were when we were with you, which was for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord when you accepted the message that came from the Holy Spirit with joy in spite of great suffering. As a result, you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The message about the Lord rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. The news about your faithfulness to God has spread so that we don't even need to mention it. People tell us about what sort of welcome we had from you and how you turned to God from idols. As a result, you are serving the living and true God, and you are waiting for his Son from heaven. His Son is Jesus, who is the one he raised from the dead, and who is the one who will rescue us from the coming wrath.
Our second lesson today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees met together to find a way to trap Jesus in his words. They sent their disciples along with the supporters of Herod to him. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are genuine and that you teach God's way as it really is. We know that you are not swayed by people's opinions because you don't show favoritism. So tell us what you think. Does the law allow people to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Knowing their evil motives, Jesus replied, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used to pay the tax." And they brought him a denarius. "Whose image and inscription is this?" he asked. "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." When they heard this, they were astonished, and they departed. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Now, if you remember from last week, Jesus, the last few weeks, he has been teaching and talking a lot about what happens to those who do not answer the call. So last week we had a wedding with a feast, and not everybody came. And so Jesus is trying to get the point across to them that they've heard and they should know and have opportunity to be part of the kingdom of God, and yet they have not heeded that call. And so here now we see that they are trying to find a way to trap Jesus in his words, not because they think he's a false prophet, but because he teaches what they don't like having to hear, namely that they are not doing and being who they are supposed to be. So they send their disciples along with supporters of Herod, who is the puppet king of Rome, to him. And they ask him, after they flatter him, which I very much enjoy, that they try and flatter Jesus. Like, "Oh, Jesus, we know you're really genuine and you teach it as it really is," which is a whole great statement. You teach it the way it really is. "And we know you're not swayed by people's opinions because you don't show favoritism. Oh, Jesus, you're the best. You're just so amazing. If you could answer us a question, that'd be awesome." But he knows, and so he gives them, to their clever question, a very clever answer, which is not to get drawn into the nature of what they're asking, which is what belongs to God and what belongs to the king, and to which king do we show our devotion and fellowship and favoritism. But instead, he simply says, "Well, give me a coin. Who's on the coin?" And they say, "Well, Caesar is on the coin." And he says, "Then it belongs to Caesar. Give it to him. But give to God what belongs to God." And they're astonished and they leave. And the reason that they are astonished is because this is not the answer they're expecting. They're there to catch him in a trap. And yet, he is able to evade their trap and throw it back in their face by saying, "If Caesar is on the coin, then it's Caesar's coin, but only God can claim what is God's," which is to say, Caesar cannot claim a person, because only God can claim a person. Give to Caesar things of this world that belong to Caesar but matter not. But give to God what belongs to God, which is us. Give to God that which does not belong to Caesar, namely who we are and how we live. It's less important to Jesus whether or not the people use the Roman money to pay the Roman taxes. What he cares about is how they live. And so he beats them at their own game. He has a tricky answer for a tricky question. And now we find ourselves in the midst of a similar quandary that we have created for ourselves. I'm not talking about whether or not you should pay your taxes. You probably should pay your taxes, by the way. Full disclaimer. They kind of like it if you do. If you don't, you get in trouble. But what I'm really talking about is the political divide that we have created for ourselves. And I know that we have a presidential election coming up, and we seem to make it a zero-sum game, that you're either with me or against me. That if you don't support this candidate, you are not a blank. And I have seen it said that if you don't vote for Trump, you're not a Christian. And I have seen it said that if you don't vote for Biden, you're not a liberal. And I've seen it said that if you don't vote for a third-party candidate, you don't really want reform. And I have seen it said so many times that you must do XYZ if you want to be part of XYZ. But the reality is that none of these earthly leaders can take from you who and what you are, which is one of God's children, beloved by God. So we may participate in the things of this world, but we must be careful that we are not corrupted by them as we participate. We may give our vote to one candidate or another, but that does not mean that we give our soul to that person or party, because we belong only to God and not to the politics of our world. But we must be cautious. We must be cautious that we do not throw ourselves aside and forget that how we use what we give to Caesar can harm other people. We are called as Christians and disciples of God to be cautious and discerning in all that we do, that we would not do things in haste, and that we would love our neighbor in all that we do. And so we must recognize that the things we give to Caesar in this world can be used for harm, and our job as disciples is to hold those accountable and speak out against injustices that occur. If we give our whole being to Caesar, then we lose who we really are. If we give our whole being to Caesar, and that Caesar turns out to be merely a human being like you and me, then what? If we give to Caesar all that we are and have, then who do we become when they are gone? We shall not define ourselves by the ways of this world, so that in totality we become something unrecognizable to Christ or unrecognizable to Paul, who writes to the church about the message that rings out from them, the example that they set for other believers. So much so that it's not just where they are that hears about it, but it is all those around everywhere who hear about the faithfulness of the church in Thessalonica. But if we corrupt and co-opt ourselves away from God and instead get caught up in things of this world to the point that we have no identity outside of them, then what is our witness? What would people say about us if they were writing a letter? I've heard about you. Can't say it's anything good. You're very active in the Thessalonian political realm, but I can't say I've heard anything about how you worship Christ. I don't think that's a letter any of us would want to get from Paul or anyone else. Because the reality is that we can give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But if we give to Caesar things that belong to God, we may not recognize ourselves when the time comes to look into the mirror. And so it is a tricky question. And it is a sneaky response. But it's also a response worth considering. Because the implications of how we answer it hold deep meaning for who we are as disciples of Jesus Christ. So when you give to Caesar what is Caesar's, take caution and heed in Christ's words, that you would not overstep, overextend, and oversell yourself on something that is merely just, like you and me, another part of this world. And that we would instead all together trust in the power and redemption of Jesus Christ, who calls us to be more than partisans, and instead calls us to be disciples. Amen. Now let us continue with some musical reflection and sharing as we sing our next hymn. As we come now to our time of offertory, may we pause for a moment and consider all that we offer to God, all that God gives us to offer to God, that we would be holy gods in how we live our lives. Let us have a moment of silent reflection. Now, wherever you are, at home or in the parking lot, if you need to get out of your car, in the Giant Eagle or, not on the freeway, though. Please stand as you are able and join with us in our doxology. Join with me in the call and response that is our offertory response. Giving is not a casual act. It relates God's work to our work. Peter writes, "As each has received a gift, employ it for one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let us give as people whose work is inextricably linked to God's great works of creation, redemption, and empowerment." Let us join together. Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to give to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you not with our words only, but with our whole lives. Amen. As we prepare to go out now back into the world, wherever you may you know that you are holy God's, and that it is to God that we belong, and it is God who calls us into ministry and witness and discipleship, and who equips us with the power of the Holy Spirit to be more than someone who shuffles from place to place here on this earth, but to be someone who strides earnestly and confidently with Christ, guiding our steps and catching us when we trip. So may you know that it is to God that you belong. Now let us join in our benediction response.
Thank you.